Welcome to No Longer Conformed. I'm Eric Garthy, and we are studying I Will Build My Church, a series on Jesus' church building. In this session, we'll be looking at Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 9, perspective and church building. Let's read our text, Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 9. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there's any virtue, and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. Persistent prayer is the foundation of church growth, and positive leadership is the catalyst. Another important element of church growth is perspective. Proper perspective is the attitude of church growth. When it comes to experiences in life, a proper perspective can make a positive difference, and a congregation with right perspective can experience growth God's way. Let's look at three results of positive perspective. First, positive perspective sees the problems with possibility. Look at chapter 4, verses 2 and 3. I implore Euodia and I implore Syntyche to be of the same mind in the Lord. And I urge you also, true companion, help these women who labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and the rest of my fellowship workers whose names are in the book of life. Paul saw problems in the Philippian church. Problems are normal in life. Thank God for them. Well, why? Someone wrote, we all are faced with a series of great opportunities brilliantly disguised as impossible situations. Can you see possibilities and problems? This is the key. David's perspective with Goliath. Israelite soldiers, he's so big we can't kill him. David, he's so big I can't miss him. All churches have problems. What makes growing churches different? They have a can-do attitude. All churches have problems. But growing churches believe in a God who knows no bounds, and they minister with all expectancy of what he's going to do. And when they have problems, well, they make needed adjustments where necessary and work for positive solutions. No problem will ever come along that you can't handle with Christ. Look at chapter 4 and verse 13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Second, proper perspective sees the people with potential. Look at chapter 1, verse 3. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. Paul loved the Christians at Philippi. Help is always needed. Verses 4 through 7 of that passage are basically a pep talk by Paul. Always in every prayer of mine, making requests for you with joy. For your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Just as is it right for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my chains and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, you are all partakers with me of grace. How do you see people in relationship to their potential? Jesus saw people that way, and he led them to be what God wanted them to be. The key is viewing people in the right way. How we relate to people, how we encourage people, makes a difference. People will not join a church that's cold, stuffy, indifferent, or resistant to change. People will join a church where they are seen through the eyes of Jesus. And then third, proper perspective sees the present with promise. Acts chapter 16, verses 11 to 24. Therefore, sailing from Troas, we ran a straight course to Samothrace, and the next day came to Neapolis, and from there to Philippi, which is the foremost city of that part of Macedonia, a colony. And we were staying in that city for some days, and on the Sabbath day we went out of the city to the riverside, where prayer was customarily made, and we sat down and spoke to the women who met there. Now a certain woman named Lydia heard us. She was a seller of purple from the city of Thyatira, who worshipped God. The Lord opened her heart to heed the things spoken by Paul. And when she and her household were baptized, she begged us, saying, "If you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come to my house and stay." So she persuaded us. Now it happened as we went to prayer that a certain slave girl possessed with a spirit of divination met us, who brought her masters much profit by fortune telling. This girl followed Paul and us and cried out, saying, "These men are the servants of the Most High God, who proclaim to us the way of salvation." And she did this for many days, but Paul, greatly annoyed, turned and said to the spirit, "I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her." And he came out at that very hour. But when her masters saw that their hope of profit was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace to the authorities. And they brought them to the magistrates and said, "These men, being Jews, exceedingly trouble our city, and they teach customs which are not lawful for us, being Romans, to receive or observe." And then the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates tore off their clothes and commanded them to be beaten with rods. And when they had laid many stripes on them, they threw them in prison, commanding the jailer to keep them securely. Having received such a charge, he put them into the inner prison and fastened their feet in the stocks. Paul suffered among the people of Philippi. Listen, focusing on the present is dangerous. The apostle could have had a jailhouse attitude. "I'm a victim." Did he? Well, look at verse 25 of Acts 16. But at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. Hear what Paul wrote back to the Philippians from another jail in chapter 1, verses 12 to 18. "But I want you to know, brethren, that the things which happened to me have actually turned out for the furtherance of the gospel, so that it has become evident to the whole palace guard and to all the rest that my chains are in Christ. And most of the brethren in the Lord, having become confident by my chains, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Some indeed preach Christ, even from envy and strife, and some also from goodwill. The former preach Christ from selfish ambition, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my chains, but the latter out of love, knowing that I'm appointed for the defense of the gospel. What then? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached. And in this I rejoice, yes, and will rejoice." All you hear is joy rather than self-pity. Paul was pressing on for the Lord. Look at chapter 3, verses 12 to 14. Not that I've already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Let me ask you, is your mind fixed on things above or things below? Look again at chapter 4, verses 8 and 9. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. Someone once said, the greatest discovery of our generation is that human beings can alter their lives by altering their attitude. Thoughts affect the decisions of life. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5. Casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. We can't alter the situations in life, but we can alter our attitude toward them. What happens in me is more important than what happens to me. That's proper perspective. See the present in relation to the future, and the future is firmly in God's hands. The day-by-day choice of attitude is more important than bills, successes, failures, pain, reputation, circumstances, or positions. Your attitude will keep you going or make you quit. No mountain is too high, no valley is too deep, and no challenge is too great. Philippians 4:13 again. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You have a great day.